Hare Krishna, everyone. We welcome all the devotees to this very, very special program hosted by ISKCON of Richmond. So we especially would like to welcome and thank His Holiness Veer Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Maharaj is with us today for a very, very special program. As we all know, we had this very, very grief-stricken, very, very difficult past week. All of us are feeling separation from His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And to give solace to our hearts, we have His Holiness Veer Krishna Goswami Maharaj with us. Maharaj is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of our movement. Maharaj is also the governing body commission for many areas, many temples, including ours. Maharaj is the GBC of ISKCON of Richmond. So Maharaj has been widely traveling all over the world, especially in New Zealand, South America, and, you know, sharing this Krishna consciousness with so many. Maharaj is based in North Carolina, New Goloka Temple. So without any further ado, Maharaj has very, very wonderful, beautiful relationship and memories of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. So without any delay, I would like to request His Holiness Veer Krishna Goswami Maharaj to please take it from here. Maharaj, I think you are unmuted.
Yeah, I'm unmuted now.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Divyanam. This has been a very difficult week for all of us since the departure of my dearmost friend, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And, you know, I've been talking to a number of his disciples, and, you know, I myself am in grief, you know, so I'm trying to help the disciples and help myself, I guess, in this difficult circumstance. And what I usually do is chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas before we begin to speak. One thing I'd like to mention is very important is that the devotees, before I begin to speak about Bhakti Charu Maharaj, devotees have to be very, very careful of this virus. I mean, it is quite a dangerous virus. I mean, right now I got tested yesterday because I'm having some of the symptoms of it. And, you know, I found out that I was exposed through one of our construction workers here. So apart from that, I found out that five or more devotees in Deland got the virus. And Guru Gauranga, who happens to be my good friend and also, you know, servant of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, has been hospitalized with it. So just be very careful, because Vaishnavas are so valuable that we really can't afford to lose Vaishnavas in this world. So let me start with this nice prayer by Narottama Das Thakur about the departure of Vaishnavas, and there's a whole historical context to this prayer. So we'll chant right now. And it's understandable that you can't chant responsibly because there's a delay with the internet here. But at least you can hear the prayer and the translation to it. Yeha nilo prema danda korna pracho. Yeha nilo prema danda korna pracho. Hey no prabhu kota gela acharya thakur. Hey no prabhu kota gela acharya thakur. Kaha mora swarupa rupa kaha sanatan, kaha mora sarupa rupa, Asanatan Kadasa Ragunatha Atita Bhavavam Kadasa Ragunatha Patita Bhavavam Amora Bata Juka Kakavira Kamora Bata Juka Kakavira Eka Kale Kota Gela Goranatara Eka Kale Kota Gela Goranatara Pashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Pashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Gunera Nidhi Kota Gele Pabo Goranga Gun Nera Nidhi Kota Gele Pabo Se Sabasangir Sange Ye Koilo Vila Se sabat sangir sanghe ye koilo pilas. Se sangana payak kande narotamodas. Se sangana payak kande narotamodas. Ye anilo prematanda kuruna prachu. Ye anilo prematanda kuruna prachu. So let me read the translation to this prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are Maestro Rupa Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So Omagana Tumadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So first, let me give a little history behind this particular poem of Narottama Das Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur's godbrother, in one sense, was Srinivas Acharya, and his best friend, Narottama Das Thakur's best friend, was Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. So it's described that Narottama Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj were completely inseparable. In fact, Ramchandra Kaviraj never even went to visit his family because he couldn't bear to be away from Narottama Das Thakur. So one day, Ramchandra Kaviraj and his spiritual master, Srinivasacharya, were in Vrindavan. And they left this world in Vrindavan. And when Narottama Das Thakur, who was in Bengal at that particular point, heard about this, he became resolved to leave his body. And there's the story of Narottama Das Thakur's pastimes, where Narottama Das Thakur mounted a funeral pyre. He just walked up on top of a funeral pyre. And when he did that, many atheists, they started to criticize him, especially ritualistic brahmanas, because they understood that Narottama Das Thakur was not from a high-class family, so-called high-class family. He was from what was considered to be a Kayasta or Shudra family. And so then Narottama Das Thakur, at the behest of his disciples, came down from the funeral pyre and actually manifested a golden Brahmin thread on his chest. After some time, a very short time, Narottama Das Thakur entered into the river and asked his devotees to bathe him, to do an abhishek in the river, and his body dissolved into the river and became sort of a milky substance, which was called a Dugdha Samadhi. Now, the reason I'm telling this story is that Narottama Das Thakur left this world feeling separation from his good friends, not his initiating spiritual master, who was Lokanath Maharaj, but from his good friends. So this is the love that Vaishnavas feel for each other, and particularly one feels that way for one spiritual master, but all close associates, one experiences this mood, feeling their separation. So it's very hard when someone who you are very close to, and certainly the spiritual master is someone who the disciple is very close to, and actually in the disciple's heart, when someone you are very close to actually leaves this world, and then you can't see them anymore, and then all of a sudden you're having memories of when you were with them, what they said to you, and it's actually extremely intense. It's very, very intense, especially, you know, you have all these close, loving memories. As the case like with Bhakti Chumars, all of us, and, you know, I assume I know all the disciples had very close memories of when he would care for them, or he would just be interested in their welfare, or even chastise them to help them advance in devotional service. I mean, there's all these different interactions you have with people who you love, who guide you in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, myself, my memory is of him as, actually, as I mentioned to the devotees, my closest friend. And, you know, we have many memories of, like, really things that friends do. I mean, it's a little bit different than the disciples. Disciples have an on reverent relationship with the guru. But the other day when we were having this ceremony here, remembering Bhakti Chumaraj, His Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj, Ratnaranika, one of his disciples, reminded us of one particular exchange I had with him. And these were exchanges I had again and again and again. I mean, this exchange was something the disciple would never have. Is that... one time we were taking prasadam here. We had a pavilion near the temple. Bhakti Chumaraj lived here in North Carolina and in Hillsboro for about 2 years because he was developing a business to help grahasthas so they wouldn't have to associate so much with non-devotees. I mean, this is one of his missions. Actually, it's really interesting how his mission was very variegated. In other words, it wasn't just like one thing he did. He actually had his hands in many different, as I say, many different pots. And one important aspect of the mission in terms of serving the Vaishnavas was actually to facilitate devotees to have devotee association rather than associating with people who are not Krishna conscious. And I know many of us have to associate with people who are not Krishna conscious. I mean, even I had to associate with our construction workers and got a little sick. I'm a little sick because of that. But in any case, he wanted to facilitate that to protect the devotees, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, asat sanga chag, a Vaishnava char, as one of the principal qualities of a Vaishnava when he was asked about it. That means one who is a Vaishnava avoids bad association. And, you know, sadhu-sangha, sadhu-sangha, sarva-sastra-koi, lava-mantra, sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi-koi. So he was establishing this whole business with that intention, not for himself, but to actually help. He was so much absorbed in the love for others that he was, as a sannyasi, was willing to do that. And you see, in many cases, Bhakti Chumaraj was doing things that were unusual for a sannyasi to do, but it was transcendental because he was doing that out of love and compassion for the devotees. So anyway, so he was here. So we got a chance to spend a lot of time with him. And one of the things, we were sitting down, getting back to the point, taking prasadam with him. And, you know, I, as everybody knows, I do have a sense of humor. So I grabbed a little prasadam from his plate. And I said, oh, I got a remnant. And then what he did, he tried to grab something from my plate, but I started running away from him. So the devotees remember this better, actually better than I remember it. So we were running around the pavilion, me trying to escape from him. And then I touched his feet, and then he was getting in, trying to touch my feet. And anyway, this is a whole, that was our exercise for the day, that we were having this loving exchange. So my, you know, my memory of him is these loving exchanges in Mayapur, for example. In Mangalarti, he would come, I would be there in Mangalarti. We were always in the front of Radhamanava's altar for Mangalarti. You know, he would embrace me. And actually, as I said, I always had this real joking relationship with him, you know, real close. I also had the same sort of relationship with His Holiness Tumal Krishna Maharaj, too. So he would come. He would come to Mangalarti, and I would say, oh, here comes a pure devotee. And I would say, now I finally feel Krishna conscious. You know, we were embraced, and I said, I finally feel Krishna conscious. I said, before I was in Maya, now I feel Krishna conscious. He would get a little transcendentally upset with me, and then we would, you know, what I'm trying to point out is, it was a warm, like, brotherly relationship. And so that was my relationship, because disciples, they didn't have that sort of relationship. But as I said, he was multifaceted, and depending on the etiquette, because he was expert in etiquette, and that was one of his main missions too, was to teach devotees how to be perfect gentlemen and perfect ladies, which many of us didn't know anything about before. I mentioned in the offering I wrote after he departed that when I was with him, sometimes I felt like a bull in a china shop. Now, I don't know if any of you can relate to that example. A bull in a china shop means that you got something really refined around you. And as a bull doesn't respect the china. He just like turns around and breaks everything. That's an American expression. So because of his refined nature, I mean, he was a gentleman. I said in my offering that in this world, I have never met such a gentleman, other than Prabhupada, of course, that was more of a gentleman than Bhakti Chumaraj. I had never seen someone as refined as Bhakti Chumaraj. And I felt like, you know, just like, I guess, how would you say, like Ravana or something in comparison to Ravana, or at least Rakshasa or something, in relationship to him. So, yeah, I very much appreciated that. And he related, getting back to the etiquette question, he he related everybody to everybody according to etiquette, whether it was disciples or godbrothers or older godbrothers or younger godbrothers. He always observed the Vaishnava etiquette. And he was always ready to serve all the devotees according to etiquette, according to what the devotees needed. I mean, all of us have had experience, at least the godbrothers and many disciples have taken prasadam with Bhakti Chuu Maharaj, and how he was so careful that we would get some nice prasadam. Of course, in the early days, before I started following a very strict diet, I would always take a pizza with him. He had these devotees. He knew how to cook pizza, even though he's from India. he knew how to cook pizza, and had these devotees, Gadadhar and Srivas, who are my good friends. And they're now living in New Orleans, cook pizza, and he would just like stuff it, you know, just make sure we get plenty to eat. And it's such an enjoyable time, not just the eating itself, but the association with such a great devotee. So you all may ask, you know, why did he leave the planet like this? And my answer is, it's Prabhupada's will. I mean, we can look at external circumstances, like in the case of Prabhupada leaving the planet. We can look at the external circumstances and say, well, Prabhupada was old, Prabhupada had diabetes, Prabhupada had liver problems, Prabhupada had a urinary tract infection. I mean, all those things. But that's not the reason Prabhupada left. Prabhupada left because Krishna wanted him to go at that time, because he has some other service. Just like if we go somewhere, we get in an airplane and go somewhere. Of course, nowadays, we do not go in airplanes. In fact, I'm arranging for a GBC rule to be passed that if anyone goes in an airplane anywhere, they're actually in 2 weeks quarantine after they get off the airplane. And this is something we're learning very, very quickly. So someone goes in an airplane, they're going somewhere else to serve. Yes, it's lamentable we're losing their association. At the same time, we know in the future we will have their association. And at the same time, we know, as Prabhupada said, that we are never separated from them when we're serving. So these are very important considerations. So then we question, why did Bhakti Chuu Maharaj leave this world? And you say, everybody was praying. I mean, I know devotees expressed this to me, that there were so many devotees praying, Krishna, please don't let him leave. Krishna, don't let him leave. And I was certainly praying too. However, Krishna has some plan for him. And Prabhupada specifically has some plan. And I mentioned to the devotees that I was with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj before he left this world. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj revealed to me, and I think he revealed to others, that he had some visions and dreams. And in those dreams, Tamal Krishna Maharaj appeared to him and said, you have to come with me. It's time to serve Prabhupada. We have some service to do with Prabhupada, for Prabhupada. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said in this dream or vision that, what about all my disciples? It's going to be very hard for them. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, yes, the same thing with my disciples, but Krishna will arrange to take care of them. So it's actually Krishna. I mean, a devotee sees Krishna everywhere and in everything, as we know from the 30th text of the 6th chapter of the Gita, that Krishna says, Yo mam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashati dashaham napanashami sachame napanashati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So it's Krishna. For a devotee, there's no question of the material energy acting. There's no question of illusion. There's no question, especially a pure devotee like Bhakti Chuu Maharaj. There's no question of karma. There's no question of anything except for the Krishna factor. For those of us who are not Krishna conscious,
someone who is, I don't want to say a demon, but someone who is not Krishna conscious, for one reason or other, then it's just the karma. It's Krishna's will, but it's actually the mechanistic effects of karma administered by the demigods. But as far as a devotee, it's Krishna directly. So Krishna is taking him for another mission. And so what do we do about that ourselves? I mean, that's a philosophical explanation. It doesn't help us emotionally, of course, that Krishna is taking him. And then, I mean, sometimes we can even get angry at Krishna. I mean, a number of devotees got angry at the coronavirus. And he said, this horrible Vrindavan, I don't want to go there. No, of course, eventually he did go there. So what do we do about it? We lament, of course, feeling separation. There's a period where we have to lament. I remember when Prabhupada left, I personally collapsed. Not immediately, because first it's a shock. And this is the process of grieving, too. That first, when you hear something happens, there's one thing. The first thing is disbelief. No, it didn't happen. It's just phony news or, you know, bad news or something like that. And then after that, you just check with other sources. It happened, and you still don't believe it. You still haven't integrated it into you. When I was told that Prabhupada left the planet in 1977, it was early in the morning, right after the morning program. They shut the doors. Oh, I helped shut the doors of the temple, and the announcement was made that Prabhupada left the planet. It's just like, there was silence. I mean, it was a shock. Then, that evening, basically everybody was crying, and by that time, people had processed what had happened. So first there's denial, and then after that there's the shock and the grief, which is important to express. Because that grief is the mood of Vipralamba, the mood of separation, in which we become very closely connected to the person who has passed away, to Bhakti Guru Maharaj. We become very, very closely connected. We realize, we think in our minds, why didn't I take advantage of the association when I had the time? I mean, I certainly thought like that in regard to Prabhupada. You know, why didn't I take advantage? Why wasn't I there in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada? You know, all these thoughts, naturally, they go through the mind. I remember that. So there's a period of just like, what, you know, what's happening? My whole world is useless. Nothing, you know, nothing makes sense anymore. Krishna, why did you do this? You know, all these different thoughts may go through the mind. And then after some time, we're going through the process of grief, then one comes to the point of, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to be like the chaste wife who enters the fire? This is the example given by Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam. Who enters the fire when her husband passes away, and the disciple just leaves the body. Like we talk about Narottama Das Thakur, when his friends left this world, he decided to leave the world. Actually, another point was Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami, who was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leave this world, Raghunath Das Goswami decided to commit suicide. I'm not advocating that. His method of leaving the world was to jump from Govardhan Hill, to go to Vrindavan and jump from Govardhan Hill. The other Goswamis convinced him not to do that by giving him the service of reciting Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, because Raghunath Das Goswami had witnessed more of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes than anybody else, at least amongst the Goswamis. So that's why we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books from the Goswamis about Lord Chaitanya to a large extent, because Raghunath Das Goswami was able to recite those pastimes. So that's a very important point. So there's this initial like depression. You know, life is useless. You know, what is this? You know, Krishna's done this, and why would Krishna do something like that? And then ultimately, as Prabhupada talks about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one comes to the point of thinking, I have to connect. This is a spiritual relationship. I have to connect with my spiritual master. I have to connect with him. How do I connect with him? And then we connect, first of all, by understanding him more, understanding his mission. I talked to many of the disciples of Bhakti Chumars the other day about this, that you should see, what is the mission? Drill down and understand the mission of Bhakti Chumaraj. What was his focus? What was his main focus? You know, in my mind, and I'm not saying that that's going to be your conclusion, because everyone has to come to their own understanding. In my mind, the main point was his exclusive devotion to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's order. To me, that's the most essential thing. Actually, let me read something that someone just sent me today. Or was it yesterday? Hold on a second. But this is really interesting in this regard. There's something that Prabhupada wrote. Hold on. We'll just take 1 second to find it. Here, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.28. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engaged directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. And that's a very heavy statement by the divine grace of the Prabhupada. So Bhakti Chumaraj had exclusive devotion, has, I don't want to use the past tense, he has exclusive devotion for his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And so the main point in my mind is his complete focus, aka Kurunandana, on pleasing Prabhupada. So much so that, you know, he was surrendered. When Prabhupada left the planet, Prabhupada said, your love will be tested by how you cooperate. He actually epitomized, he showed that to the highest degree in his cooperation with his godbrothers, more than anyone else. He never attempted to do anything independently of Prabhupada's structure in the movement. I know sometimes we talk about the structure and GBC is just management, but Prabhupada wanted us to, what does cooperation mean? Cooperation means we work together. He never tried to do anything outside independently that wasn't ISKCON, that wasn't done under the cooperation, coordination, instruction, guidance of Prabhupada's management structure in ISKCON. And so to me, that indicates, like I said in my letter, that he's a Prabhupada man. When you talk about ISKCON and Prabhupada, it's pretty much inseparable. Obviously, they're not the same person, but he was ready, selfless. And from that point, then everything else comes, that complete dedication to his guru. As we know from the Bhagavatam, Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavata Kinjana Sabhagunas Tatra Samasate Sava, that one has that faith in the spiritual master and the Vedic literatures, then everything becomes manifest. So to me, faith means more than just believing. Faith means to Shraddha Shabde Vasha Sakahe Sudrida Nishya, that just doing what that person says, trying to please. Bhakti Chumaraj is a first-class servant of Srila Prabhupada, because first-class servant does what the person whom he is serving wants without even the person asking. Second class, they have to be asked to do something. The first class does it without being asked. So that, to me, that's the primary characteristic. And the other characteristics, you know, kindness and everything, come from that devotion to Prabhupada and the devotion to Krishna, because it's all based on devotion, that connection to Krishna and spiritual master. So we can learn from that. And so we have to, what do I mean learn from that? I mean, it's one thing to glorify someone, but it's even better to understand the lesson and do what they showed by their example. Like when we talk about acharya, you know, people have a misunderstanding of the word acharya. They think it's just someone in charge of a big group, something like that. But the word achar means example. So acharya is one who sets an example. Why does he set an example? He sets an example for us. Like when I look at Bhakti Chumar's example, I learned so many things from his example. So those of you who are followers of Bhakti Chumar's, I mean, I know you're going through grief. You know, I have to be empathic about that, and I'm going through grief too, but I'm seeing this light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, where you take up his mood of service to Prabhupada and the other things that are connected with that mood, such as Vaishnava etiquette, not criticizing anybody. I mean, so many of us are inclined to be political or criticizing other Vaishnavas. Bhakti Chumar did not criticize other Vaishnavas. In fact, whenever there was criticism, he just simply left the place. And there was that story in his pastimes that one time there was one of the godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada who just like minimized Prabhupada. And Bhakti Chumar just like, he was out of there in 1 second. Half of a second after that. So he never criticizing any Vaishnavas, always appreciating the good qualities. And like a swan, like we say, Hamsa or Paramahamsa. That means someone who sees the good qualities in someone and doesn't see the bad qualities, maybe aware of them, but doesn't really take those into account and just fans the flame of devotion, the spark of devotion. So Bhakti Chumar was like that. You know, loving with everybody. So if we are like that, then we are connecting with him. We're looking at his example. When you read his pastimes, and you know, we're reading this, the book, which fortunately I just got an e-copy of the book, which was distributed free to me so I can have the book with me wherever I am. When you read the book, you'll see that he's showing us how to act. Like Prabhupada, you know, you read the Bhagavad Gita, for example, and you think, how can I follow Arjuna's example? You know, I understand the essence of Arjuna's example, Sarva Dharma Puricha, Mamakam, Shadanam Braja. That's, you know, a great example. But he's not our role model in a real sense. I mean, Arjuna's, to me, I'm not going to grab a bow and arrow and start shooting my enemies. And so if we want to learn Bhagavad Gita, what I always tell devotees is, yes, you study Bhagavad Gita, but then there's also the example who is Prabhupada, and of course, Bhakti Chumaras. How do you know how to be Krishna conscious? As a statement goes in the Mahabharata, Tarko Pranishta, Shutina, Vibina, that no one can understand really the truth or the path by argumentation, reasoning, studying the Vedas, or even studying the Gita, Mahajanayena, Gata, Sapanta, by following the footsteps of Mahajana, great devotee. So here you have someone, Bhakti Chumar is a Mahajana, and he walked amongst us. You say that also about Prabhupada. Prabhupada walked amongst us. We were fortunate enough. Think about that. You were all fortunate enough to have that association. Be thankful to Krishna that for some time Krishna gave you that association. And, you know, with Prabhupada, I'm thankful, but also I'm lamenting I didn't take more advantage. And same thing with Bhakti Chumaraj. So we have that association. So let's learn from it. Because Bhakti Chumaraj is there with his disciples, is there with those who love him. And if you follow his example, he'll be pleased and you'll never be separated from him. So that's the next step after you're finished with the grieving. You know, certainly the grieving has to be there. But it's just like, what does he want? Like I mentioned to the devotees the other day, I try my best to think when I make decisions of what am I going to do, what am I not going to do, as to what Prabhupada would say. It's like we have this example on the Ramayana of Hanuman. He opened his chest, and inside was Sita and Ram, and Lakshmi too. And so a disciple should be like that too, that you're asking. It's like the Lord in the heart. You know, you're always connected with the Lord in the heart, the Chaita Guru. That means the Guru inside. So Chaita Guru. So you can be always connected in the same way. You know, we consult with the Lord in the heart. And so we consult with our spiritual master. We say in our mind, in our hearts, Bhakti Chumaraj, what do you want me to do now? What is your instruction? And what do you want me not to do? And then you will feel his presence everywhere at all times. And that's what it means to be a disciple. Like, you know, disciple, of course, means discipline. But more than just discipline, it has to be from the heart. You know, you hear this word discipline, and it's a very heavy word, discipline. But it means that one has imbibed the spirit of love. So that you're, like with Queen Kunti, when Pandu passed away, her spirit of love for Pandu was so great that she served the five Pandavas, the Pancha Pandavas, you know, the Yudhisthira, Kula, Sahadeva, Arjuna, Bhimsen. And she even served Nakula and Sahadeva as well or even better than she served her own children, because that was her love. See, whereas you take Madri on the other side, Madri decided to leave this world because she was partial to her children. Whereas you find Kunti treated Nakula and Sahadeva equally or even better than her own children. So she actually imbibed, now that's not a criticism of Madri, she actually imbibed the spirit of her husband. And therefore we could say that she was the closest to her husband because she imbibed the spirit of service. And so she was never separated by Pandu. I mean, these are spiritual personalities, of course. So in this way, we can always remain connected. As Prabhupada said, that he was never separated from his spiritual master and because of the service. And simultaneously, Prabhupada was feeling separation. Prabhupada one time was asked, do you ever feel separation from your guru? And Prabhupada answered, that question you do not need to ask, indicating that it was so intense that Prabhupada couldn't answer it. So we simultaneously feel this great separation. And at the same time, we feel connected. It's something like service to Krishna and Vipralamba Seva, that you go to Vrindavan and Krishna is not appearing there, but he is there. You can feel his presence if you go to Vrindavan. You don't see him, but Krishna's there. So that's the mood we can imbibe and at the same time feel this great lamentation and sadness being separated from our friend, spiritual master, whatever the relationship was with His Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj. So thank you very much. So any questions that anyone might have?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. So at this time, as Maharaj said, if we have any questions, we can raise our hands using the feature on Zoom, and then we can open you up to ask questions yourself. Okay, so we have a question from Shamla Gopika Mataji. Go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Can you speak louder?
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful realization that really helps us a lot to go through this situation. So my question is, like, in this, the song that we sang, that Jai Anulokam, so in that, like, in the last verse, it says that, so I want to smash my head and enter into the fire. So due to the separation, like, at the same time, like, we devotee knows that this is a kind of a suicide, that it's not a recommended and it is a sinful activity. So how we can understand this Acharya's mood and...
I couldn't hear you quite clearly. Vivyanam, did you understand what she was asking?
So Mataji is asking about the song of Narottam Das Thakur, where he says that I feel like, you know, hitting my head to the rock. So Mataji is asking that it's basically kind of a suicide. So how do we understand the mood of Acharyas in that context?
Okay, good question. That's how we should feel. Of course, we should not do it. We should feel, in other words, the whole point is we feel devastated. My life has no purpose. It's just like complete. Well, devastation is actually the right word for it. You know, just like everything seems empty. You know, even if you go to Vrindavan, everything seems empty. You know, what, like that. And there's no reason for me to go on living. It's not exactly like a clinical depression, if that's your question. It's not like that, because you still, through your intelligence, you understand and separate the emotions from the intelligence. As Krishna describes in the Gita, that actually it's in the Upanishads, where the example is of the chariot with the five horses and the reins and the driver and the passenger, you know, the chariot being the body, and of course, so anyway, so getting back to the point is the intelligence is different than the mind. So devotees function, this is a general instruction, not only when spiritual master passes away. Devotees function on two levels simultaneously. Several levels. One is they're examining things with their intelligence all the time, which is a cool-headed thing, according to their mission. And then at the same time, there's emotional expression. So the intelligence allows the emotions to express themselves, but the intelligence controls things so the emotions don't drive the person to do something that's counter to Krishna's desire. You understand what I mean? It's like, It's a real duality. I mean, like, you know, you have feelings. I mean, just in the ordinary world, your mind may have a feeling. Let's say if someone says something to you, you may have a feeling to hit them. But your intelligence knows, no, that's not going to happen. At the same time, you have your emotions. I mean, we're not going to decry emotions. So the intelligence knows how to focus those emotions in the proper way. Because if the emotions are allowed to just control us, we can do things that would be counterproductive to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada would often say how the intelligence and the super soul are this close, and how Krishna consciousness is Buddha yoga, how we have to make the intelligence very strong. So we have two aspects, not just two, but these two aspects of our Krishna consciousness. The intelligence, which is the form direction of the super soul, knowing what's right, knowing what's wrong, and the emotions. And the person is never allows the emotions to drag him away from Krishna's desire. But of course, we express the emotions too. I mean, it's quite a complicated thing. But that's Krishna consciousness. you know, when Prabhupada left, you know, I felt like this world is useless. But also, you know, it was like a fight between intelligence. I mean, for some time, it was just emotions. But also the intelligence was there, so I didn't do anything crazy. I knew, for example, in the mood that I was in, not to go and drive a car. Not because I would do something, but because I wouldn't be attentive enough in driving a car. Just like, you know, if you're emotionally overwrought, please don't get in a car. Because your reflexes and your ability to control are not going to be there. So one does really have to employ the intelligence at all times, and not otherwise, if we become just completely overwhelmed by the emotions, then we'll act in a way that will displease the person who we're lamenting for. I mean, always the back of our minds, it has to be, what would that person want? I mean, that's really what I was thinking when Prabhupada left the planet. In the back of my mind was always, what would Prabhupada want me to do? Yes, I'm lamenting. It's horrible. It's miserable. But what would Prabhupada want? And that really helped me pass through that time. So if you think, what would Bhakti Chur, you know, manifest Bhakti Chur Maharaj in your heart. That's really the point I'm making. He's in your heart. You're lamenting for him. What do you want, Marge? You know, have a conversation with him. You can do that. You could have a conversation with your spiritual master, even if he's not physically present before you, because it's a spiritual relationship. It's not a mundane relationship. In a mundane relationship, the person is gone, he's gone. Like, you know, I can't have a conversation with my father who passed away. He's gone. I mean, he's gone to another body by the mercy of Krishna. But a spiritual relationship transcends space and time. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a spiritual relationship. It transcends space and time. So you can, if you ask, for guidance, he will give you guidance. Okay? Thank you for your question. Good question. All right. Who else has a question?
Okay, so next question. Ida Sundari Mataji.
Okay.
Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving this wonderful class and, you know, giving a lot of solace to all our disciples. And I really like your point. The other day you were mentioning and today you know, repeated it and you said that we need to drill down now. Drill down that what Guru Maharaj wants from all of us. My question is that, yes, we all disciples are, you know, feeling a great loss, but more devastated are those who are aspiring, you know, those who were aspiring from Guru Maharaj. So what is your, you know, suggestions to them, like how they should try to, because their relationship has yet not developed fully because they were not initiated. And still, you know, heart in heart, they accepted him as a spiritual master. So what should be their case? And of course, for those who are aspiring for second initiation, but already got first, so how they should go move forward, if you can just. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, that's a two-pointed question. So the first point is for those who are not initiated, you know, how can they move forward? Well, first of all, let me make it clear that their relationship with Bhakti Chur Maharaj is solid, whether they were initiated or not. You don't connect with the spiritual master just at the initiation. The initiation is a necessary formality. because it's important, it's a samskara, it's important to make one's promises and vows and a formal commitment. Just like you have marriage, it's a formal samskara commitment. But relationships are relationships. Now that may seem like a truism. Truism means like something that's, something that's obviously true. Relationships are relationships. So relationships are based on relationships, not upon formality. So you already have, not you, of course, but anyone who's aspiring and connected with Bhakti True Maharaj, whether they're initiated or not, it depends on how devoted they are. Someone who is not initiated by Bhakti True Maharaj may be more connected to Bhakti True Maharaj than someone who is initiated. Because it depends on devotion. I mean, of course you have to take initiation. I'm not proposing, Ritvik philosophy or anything like that. But I'm saying the relationship is a relationship. It doesn't automatically take place when one takes initiation. It's just not like, you take initiation, okay, now I got a relationship. But it's not like that. So that's the first point. And then, so Bhakti True Maharaj, let's say you pray to him for guidance as to what to do to take formal initiation. So Bhakti True Maharaj can always be your main guru. I'm not talking about Ritvik philosophy. If your faith, your devotion is primarily reposed in Bhakti True Maharaj, then you take initiation from someone else who Bhakti True Maharaj guides you to take initiation from, and you consider that person to helping you in your relationship with Bhakti True Maharaj. Like we have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says Siksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus are equal but different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, so what does that mean? For many people, their Siksha Guru is more important than the Diksha Guru. Many times we tend to see formalities as more important than actualities. For example, in the case of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his relationship with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was much more important, and actually extremely more important, than his relationship with his Diksha Guru, who is Bipini Vihari Goswami. And we see this in the case of Baladeva Vijayabhushana too. That his relationship with his Siksha Guru was much more important. And these are links. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually gave us this whole concept of Siksha Sampradaya. So we don't want to formalities are formalities. They're important. But we don't want to see the formalities as the all in all. So that's the first point I wanted to make. That yes, I know that I've initiated some of the aspiring disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they primarily consider Tamal Krishna Maharaj their guru. And I'm assisting them in that particular role because we're all servants. We're all servants. We're all connected. And, I have some disciples who Prabhupada is, central. Of course, Prabhupada's central to everybody. But it's a question of faith. You cannot legislate faith. They say, your faith should be because of a formality. So that's the first point. And then, if you haven't taken initiation, then you approach someone who you feel can enhance your faith or help you in your relationship with Bhakti True Maharaj. And I think that would be the same thing for the second initiation. Answer your question in the second initiation, that you would actually approach someone who would enhance or help you in that connection and respect that relationship. Because in reality, I mean, the guru doesn't possess the disciple. I mean, we're one big family, Prabhupada's family here. So we all work together. You know, we have uncles and aunts and people who just like work together. I mean, obviously, whatever relationship you form, whether it's Diksha or Siksha relationship, has to be based upon your connection with Bhakti Chumaraj. I mean, that has to always be the central aspect. But faith is faith. And you can't force people. I know sometimes we discuss this in the GBC, that people try to legislate different items of faith. And, you know, in particular, they say, well, Prabhupada, your primary faith should be in Prabhupada. You know, you can legislate that, and that's a good thought, but you can't, faith is from someone's heart. You can't really enter or change that in someone's heart. It's just not going to be. You know, you can't be too bureaucratic about Krishna consciousness. So I think this point of thinking that initiation is the way to make the relationship has to be really understood. It's not. It's not. The relationship is the relationship is the relationship. I mean, I have people that I initiated that I have no relationship with. I mean, that's their issue. I mean, it's just, and Prabhupada also had the same thing. You know, he had Prabhupada had people initiated Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, people he initiated, and they didn't follow him for one reason or other. So actual initiation means to follow the order and be devoted to the guru. I mean, that's the essence of initiation. The ceremony is there, but that's not the most important part of the guru-disciple relationship. It's just, I would say it's secondary. All right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for such a deep understanding. And thank you for guiding us. And really appreciate your time and effort for coming on and giving some solace to all the disciples. Really indebted to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Hey, Maharaj, I know, Maharaj, you were not feeling so well, but we have two more questions. Is it okay?
Yeah, just let's take two, because I'm actually feeling a little out of the weather right now. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So please. I need to rest a little bit, take care of my health, you know, life.
Ujwala Mataji?
Okay. Where's Ujwala?
Mataji?
Hare Krishna, yes, thank you, Prabhu. And dandavats to you, Maharaj.
Very good.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Dandavats to you. Very grateful to you. In spite of you not being so well, you took time to give us this message. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Just want to... as you delivered the message, you really conveyed a very important practical aspect to all of us. Yes, definitely in this context of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, but in general also in spirituality, you nicely explained about how we need to acknowledge the emotions but act on our intelligence. That was really wonderful, Maharaj. And so my question is, so this, if I could put it as a tug of war between intelligence and mind. Because as we derive this spiritual intelligence, mind has its own things to say. So this tug of war between the mind and intelligence, it looks like it would go on. As Bhakti Tirtha Swami mentioned, the good dog and the bad dog thing. So Maharaj, so I'm assuming that it gets better. Intelligence will take over and mind will... may lose its strength to distract us. So I'm wondering if you could comment on that part, especially for us as we do the spiritual journey in the future too. What are the dynamics between this intelligence and mind what to expect in the future. That's one thing. Second thing is, if for some reason somebody is unable to act upon intelligence, then would they be retracted or fall down, so-called, in spirituality, or lag back? The third thing is quick things, Maharaj.
If somebody... Let me do one at a time.
Yes, go ahead, please.
All right, the first question is, what happens with the mind as one progresses in spiritual life, which is actually a good question. Well, then, as one progresses in spiritual life, the mind actually becomes, first of all, trained up. Like Krishna says in the Gita, the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. The uncontrolled mind is the enemy. So, first of all, the mind actually becomes trained up, and when the mind becomes trained up, it actually becomes your friend. That's one point. And then as one progresses, then what happens is the mind becomes spiritualized. What is, let's say, Shudahabhi mana kabe hama he rabo Sri Vrindavana? That the mind actually manifests Vrindavan. And so then one's mind is actually spiritualized. So there's different stages. Now, okay, that's the first point. Now, to answer your second question, we'll get to the second. I didn't hear the third yet. But the second question is, what to do if the mind just like overcomes the intelligence? Well, that's why we have to be associated with devotees, so we don't deviate, don't do something crazy. I mean, that example of Raghunath Das Goswami was ready to jump from Govardhan Hill. I mean, of course, this is all spiritual pastime. Obviously, he wasn't going to do it. But the devotees stopped him. Devotees stopped him. Also, you have Sanatan Goswami, who was ready to commit suicide by jumping under the cart, Lord Jagannath's cart in Jagannath Puri, because he had these sores and he felt he was committing offenses. And he was stopped by Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, the importance is always keep association with devotees. If one always keeps association with devotees, then you will be stopped from doing anything that is counterproductive to your Krishna consciousness. And that means always revealing your mind to other devotees. Guhyamakyati prichati. Revealing your mind in confidence. Tadati prati ganati guhyamakyati prichati. So that's the answer to the second question. That protects us. Without the association of devotees, we're not protected, because the mind in the immature state can actually drag us away. And we can lose.
Yes. Beautiful.
Intelligence can be overcome. So what's the third question?
Beautiful, Maharaj. Very concise, but easily understandable. Beautiful. Last one is, if somebody is going through in difficult times like this, with the mind and intelligence, etc., how about the services which might involve, you know, people where we may need to show our spiritual integrity, etc.? So what to do about the services and how to handle them?
I think that's up to the individual. That, if someone is so bereft, they may need to pull themselves away from certain services until they process. You know, you got to allow people times to process the grief. But ultimately, people should be encouraged to put their minds in their service as a means of connecting. But there's a time for everything. In the grief process, there's actually a time for everything. And you don't want to push people through the grief process too quickly. You don't want to push them through at all. But you have to facilitate them in going through the process of grief.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So you have one more question?
Yeah, last question is from Garima. So go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Bal.
Thank you for the class.
Thank you for coming. The class, you're on mute again.
I want to ask you one question. Why did Why did Guru Maharaj have to live in this pain, and why did Prabhupada call him in this time? He could have waited for some time. So why did Prabhupada call Guru Maharaj in this time?
Okay, that is a good question, because there was some really important thing that Prabhupada needed Guru Maharaj for. It was like an urgent situation. Prabhupada was thinking, I really need him now, right now. And so when the guru needs someone, then he calls, and then the disciple has to come.
Okay.
So he loves you all so much, and he wanted to stay, but when Prabhupada called, he just had to go. Okay?
And then okay. Your second question, why he went through?
So much pain. Why did Guru Maharaj went so into so much pain to leave his body?
For most of the time when he was in the hospital, he was absorbed in Krishna. He wasn't, in other words, he was unconscious, well, materially unconscious, but spiritually thinking of Krishna. So Krishna protected him from all that pain. Okay? Krishna protects his devotees like he protected Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur was being hit so many times by the Muslims, Krishna protected his back and didn't let him feel the pain. Okay?
Okay. Say thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Krishna protected him. Very nice questions. Thank you for asking those questions.
Maharaj, I have a question. Can I ask?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving us your association. Maharaj, this might sound very foolish question, but this question been bothering me from that day. That did Guru Maharaj knew that he's going to leave his body and he's called upon by Srila Prabhupada? Because I'm hearing from devotees when they're talking that Guru Maharaj gave last lecture in New Jersey, where he was describing about departure of Srila Prabhupada. And quite a bit similarities are there with that lecture, and Guru Maharaj left his Vapu physically. So I've been bothered by this question all the time that Guru Maharaj knew it.
Well, I can't answer that. I could say that there's indications that he did know. And there, of course, is that offering that he wrote to Prabhupada in 2012, I believe, in which which I think you're familiar with.
Yes.
That, you know, he asked to rejoin Prabhupada. So there is some indication. I really can't say yes or no, but there is a lot of indication that he did know. Okay, I think we'll have to end now.
Yes, thank you very much, Maharaj. So on behalf of all the devotees present here on this Zoom call, we would like to express our sincere gratitude, Maharaj. You explained it so very wonderfully about your experience when Srila Prabhupada left, and also the point you made that what's next, this whole, you know, time of grief, what's next is to use the intelligence. And the intelligence is to understand the person, to understand the spiritual master, who actually he is. And you gave your beautiful perspective that who Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj is. He's the person like first class servant of Srila Prabhupada. He was doing everything without being asked by Srila Prabhupada. And these two qualities that he never heard any criticism, what to talk about criticizing others, and the spirit of cooperation with others. So these are the two, you know, qualities Maharaj's epitome of. So we have so much solace from your talk, Maharaj, and we have so much to meditate upon and move forward. So once again, we thank you very much, Maharaj. In spite of your not feeling so well, you agreed to come and give your precious time and association. So we are very grateful.
Thank you very much. So this was all on Facebook. On what page?
Yes, Maharaj, it's on Facebook, our ISKCON of Richmond Facebook page. So the whole video is over there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for allowing me to associate with all of you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you. And we thank all the devotees from North Carolina, New Goloka, and other places to join us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Chiruswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.